Now, before we come to John chapter 5, I'd like you to turn, please, to Matthew chapter 23. I want to draw attention to words that came repeatedly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he was meek and lowly of heart. But look at 23:13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 27. And verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. This morning we are thinking of religion. Turn now to Matthew 25. Verse 34 to 41, you have true religion. And then from 42 to the end, you have false religion. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." So now let's turn to the passage we're going to look at, which is John chapter 5. Before we do so, let us pray. Our Father, the Lord Jesus said that the wind blows where it will. We don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And as we are bowed now before you, we pray for the wind blowing. We pray that the Holy Spirit himself may take of the truths of your word and apply them to each of our hearts. For we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. So I'm speaking about religion. False religion, true religion, and what it is to embrace true religion. So false religion. False religion has been likened to a wooden leg. There is neither life nor warmth in it. Although it will help you to hobble along, it never becomes a part of you. So be sure, and this is the burden of the message this morning, be sure your religion has life, has warmth, and has growth. Is your faith living faith? Jesus heals a man, an invalid for 38 years. The man picked up his bed and walked. It happened on a Sabbath day. The Jews say to the healed man, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your bed." The man replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your bed and walk.'" So they questioned the man, "Who is this man?" Now you would expect them to marvel at what had taken place. The paralytic is healed. Healed after 38 years, dependent on charity, helpless, unable to lift himself. But they do no such thing. They show no interest in the man's welfare. Their concern is with their rules and their regulations. Their interest is not who healed the man, but who told the man to pick up his bed and walk. Now, there is nothing more abominable to God than heartless religion. 7 times in Matthew 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you! Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! There is no sin that Jesus condemns more in the Gospels than hypocrisy. Their concern is with outward observances and appearances, not inward change. The 6th woe reads, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like washed white tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. Outwardly, they appear righteous. Inwardly, they are full of decay and corruption and death." Religion that does not deal with the heart is false religion. The heart is sinful. The heart needs cleansing. It needs changing. The hard heart needs to be taken away. There needs to be the transplanting of a soft and a tender and a compassionate heart. So here's the first thing about false religion. False religion is heartless. Now let me be clear what I'm aiming at. You will not be saved through a christening, a baptism, a confirmation, sitting at the Lord's table, church attendance, having a grave in a church yard. Outward religion does not bring salvation. False religion is heartless. But false religion also finds fault. These religious rulers see the mat, but they do not see the miracle. They should have marveled, but they are murmuring. The miracle should have pointed them to Christ. All the miracles in John's Gospel are spoken of signs, and signs direct you to something. And the miracles of Jesus direct you to who he is. But because of their hard hearts, they are blinded to who Jesus is. Now, earlier in his ministry, Jesus has healed another paralytic. And he said to that paralytic, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven you." And on that occasion, some of the scribes and the Pharisees said of Jesus, "This man is blaspheming." They find fault. They call Jesus a blasphemer. Now here they are again in John chapter 5, finding fault. The miracle should have pointed them to Christ, but they are blinded by their hard hearts. Guard against religious people who criticize but never point you to Christ. Such religion senses, but it does not save. Now look at verse 16. False religion is cruel. The Jews were persecuting Jesus. These are the religious leaders. Verse 18. The Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Jesus does the man good. The Jews would do Jesus harm. He heals. They hate. You look in vain in this passage for any compassion or mercy or love or joy in their religion. The real cruelty, however, is that false religion does not only do no good, it does great harm. Back in Matthew 23, 13 and 14. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourself do not enter. Nor will you let those enter who are trying to enter. You shut the door in their faces. False religion is cruel. False religion is heartless. False religion finds fault. False religion is cruel. Now we each need to search our own hearts. Question your own self. Does my religion give me a love for God and a hatred of sin? Or is it all outward and professional? You clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. Beware. Be warned. God hates hypocrisy. Woe to you. It's not how other people see you. How does God see you? In preparing this, I had to pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Search your heart. Do you really know him? Really love him? Truly hate sin? Now, true religion. Now, the essential thing to say as we think about true religion, from which everything else flows, is this. True religion is centered in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion, any religion, anywhere in the world without Christ, is like a car without petrol or a body without life. It has no purpose. It has no use. The heart of true religion is its personal pronouns. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God," and Paul sighs, "Oh, that I might know him." They each express a personal relationship to God, or a longing for an even deeper relationship with God. Is God personal to you? Do you talk with him? Do you walk with him? Do you long for him? As you go about your daily duties, are you aware of him? Love him? Does he speak to you? what he'd been saying to you this past week. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except by me. True religion is grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So what do we learn about Jesus from this passage? In comparison with the scribes and the Pharisees, what do we learn about Jesus? Well, we learn first that he is God. He is, in this incident, John chapter 5, accused of two sins. Verse 18. He's accused of breaking the Sabbath. And he's accused of blasphemy, calling God his own Father. Now, Jesus claims a unique relationship with the Father, verse 17. He speaks of God as my Father. Now, look at verse 18. The Jews clearly understood what Jesus meant when he called God my Father. He was making himself, said the Jews, equal with God. They were in no doubt what Jesus meant. Jesus claims equality with God. He is tied in with the Father. I and my Father are one. Hence, in verse 19, you read, the Son can do nothing of himself. Not that Jesus lacks the power, but rather he will not act independent of the Father. The actions of the Father are always the actions of the Son. He is like the Father in every way. Verse 20 points to an eternal unity of heart and affection. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Two persons have been spoken of. One God. And being God, Jesus is the only true object of faith. True religion recognizes the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that statement rules out all other religions. He recognizes the true religion of Jesus. True religion is about belief in a person and what you believe about that person. Jesus is God. But we also learn here that Jesus is merciful. True religion has a heart. The Jews claim Jesus has violated the Sabbath. And Jesus answers, verse 17, God acts mercifully on the Sabbath. My Father is always at his work. Notice, to this very day. And I too am working. Now it is true that God rested from his acts of creation on the seventh day. But God has never rested from his acts of mercy. Jesus no more broke the Sabbath by healing this man than God breaks the Sabbath when he makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall, and the crops to grow. Jesus was asked, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And he said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, says Jesus, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Not to please ourselves, to do good on the Sabbath. True religion has a heart. Jesus came into this world on a mission of mercy. Yes, he came on a mission of grace with regard to our sin. But also he came on a mission of mercy in regard to our misery. God's mercy stems from his grace. And our misery stems from our sin. Grace relates to sin. Mercy relates to misery. And here we see Jesus mercifully. Jesus stood up in the temple in Luke chapter 4. And he read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. True religion has a heart. It cares for the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed. And it is centered in a person who is full of mercy. Is this your religion? Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself by being polluted by the world. True religion cares. Jesus is full of compassion. The grace of Jesus that is mentioned most in the Gospels is his compassion. He had compassion on individuals as he met them. And he had compassion on the multitude as he looked upon them. Jesus and compassion go together. Is this your religion? Now look at verse 21. Jesus is powerful. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. True religion changes people. It transforms lives. And notice, life is in the hands of Jesus. It is his to give at his discretion. Of his own life, he says, I have the power or the authority to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. And he has come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But what is the gospel? Mark 1 verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is Jesus. And he is powerful. The scriptures are quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But what is the message of the scriptures? These are they that speak of me, says Jesus. Later in this chapter, Jesus says, Moses spoke of me. the message of the scriptures, old and new, is Jesus. True religion is Christ. True religion is life-giving. Here's the question. Has your life been transformed? Put another way? Are you now a different person? Have you been changed? Have you? Can you say, my Lord, my Saviour, my God? True religion changes people because it is grounded in a unique person, Jesus. Very quickly, verse 22. Jesus is judge. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. It is Jesus who will separate the true from the false, the sincere from the hypocrite. All will be judged by Him. You will be judged by Him. True religion is in a person, Jesus Christ. He is God. He is merciful. He is powerful. And He will judge the living and the dead. Verse 28. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. True religion looks to the future. One of our hymns has the verse, see the judge our nature wearing, clothed in majesty divine. You who long for His appearing then shall say, this God is mine, gracious Saviour. Own me in that day as thine. Lastly and more briefly, embracing true religion. Embracing true religion means facing up to sin. Verse 14. Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse happens to you. The NIV simply says, stop sinning. Don't continue in your sinful ways. Indeed, hate it. Why should you hate sin? See what it did to the Lord Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And then see what it does for you. Verse 14. Stop sinning, or something worse will happen to you. Only the precious blood of Christ stands between you and the awesome wrath of God. To come to God, you must let go of your sin. You must turn from sinful attitudes and practices. Face up to your sin. And then embracing true religion involves confessing Christ. Verse 15. The man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had healed him. After facing the sin question, the man confessed Christ. The Jews talked about the bed. Who is the man who told you take up your bed? He talked about the blessing. The man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had healed me. He owned Jesus. He speaks of Jesus to those he knows are hostile to him. To come to God, You must confess Christ even when there is opposition, even hostile opposition. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, said Isaac Watts. And then lastly, embracing true religion involves acknowledging the Lordship of Christ. When the man is criticized for carrying his bed on the Sabbath, he replied in verse 11, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" Now let me paraphrase it. Since he has done the impossible for me, he has the right to tell me what to do. The rule of Christ, not the religion of men, is what is to be followed. Jesus Christ is Lord. There is false religion and there is true religion. And only true religion will bring you to God. We stopped at verse 23. Verse 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Have you? Have you passed from death to life? Have you faced up to your sin? Have you confessed Christ? It's what you do when you're baptized. Do you acknowledge his lordship over your life? Is your religion true religion, or is it false? May God search our hearts.